worship you, Jesus. The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. No breath came as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broke.
Forever He is glory. Oh yes, he lives. there somebody in this place that the Lord wants to make himself known to you tonight? Somebody in this place has been raised in religion like I was, dead, dull, dry religion, and thought that you think that's all there is. Now, I think maybe you think some of us are getting paid to act this way. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of walking miracles in Calvary Gospel Church. And God's plan for you is to be the next one. But I don't think you believe it yet. You're just going to sit back and watch all these little wackos act wacko while you act reserved because you're cool. You are missing it, my friend. I know I'm talking to somebody, and you're ticked at me right now because I'm stepping on your toes. Hallelujah. Well, pardon me. Hallelujah. I'll shut up. Live and he loved me. Die and he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Hallelujah. Then rising, he justified. And this is why we act so weird. 'Cause he freed me forever. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm not bound like I used to be. We're not addicted to the things we used to be addicted to. We don't wake up every morning with chains binding us. He freed me forever. Someday, he's coming back. James, let's do it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away.
Rising, he justified. Freed me forever. One day he's coming back. Glorious day. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified.
One Sunday, the grave Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah.
They found the stone rolled away. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them and said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Why do you seek the living among the dead? A question that cuts right to the heart. That day, the women found an empty tomb that once held a crucified Christ. So the angels asked them this very profound question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? That same question echoes in our hearts today. Why do we seek life in things that lead to death? Why do we look for a savior in all the wrong places? We want to live life to the fullest, but we chase the things that ultimately kill us. Why do we search for fulfillment in emptiness? Why do we seek the living among the dead? But that same question contains a sense of celebration. The ultimate sacrifice of Jesus was successful. Death couldn't stop him, hell couldn't hold him, and sin couldn't beat him. Jesus died so that we could live. He took our place, accepting the death that we deserve so that we could live with him forever. Because of his sacrifice, our lives don't end with death. And now we can celebrate, not because he was crucified, but because he rose. Not because he died, but because he lives. And when we gather together in his name, he is with us. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not there. He is here.
He's here.
Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up.
Early.
Early.
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men.
And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men.
But don't worry, the story brightens here. The angel answered the women and said, "Fear not!
Fear not,
fear not,
fear not,
fear not,
fear not,
for I know,
for I know he seeks Jesus who was crucified."
Woo! He is not here.
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 Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here.
He is not here.
For he has risen as he said.
For he has risen as he said. Come.
Come see the place where the Lord used to lay.
See the place where the Lord lay.
Let's review the story one more time. And the angel of the Lord answered the women and said, "Fear not!
Fear not!
Fear not!
Fear not!
Fear not!
Fear not!
For I know!
For I know he seeks Jesus who was crucified."
Yes. He is not here!
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 Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here.
He is not here.
For he has risen as he said.
For he has risen as he said. Come.
Come see the place where the Lord used to lay.
See the place where the Lord lay.
Remember how he said, while he was yet in Galilee?
Remember how he said while he was yet in Galilee.
Here's my favorite part. What did he say, sopranos? Yes!
Give me authority and power.
Let's just worship him one more time. Do you have that spirit inside of you tonight? How many of you believe that life is in this place? How many of you feel something alive in this place? I feel the presence and the power of an almighty God. I want to preach for just a few minutes tonight, then the worship team will come back. You can go ahead and be seated if you would like to. I want to speak on the short topic here of life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. How many of you tonight sitting here have blood flowing through your veins? How many of you have believed that there is life in your blood? All right. Some of us do. Leviticus 17:11 tells us that life is in the blood, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 7:14, the Amplified Version says, "For it is the life of the flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore, I say unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth of it shall be cut off." We must understand that the blood that flows through your veins and the blood that flows through my veins, whether it's A positive, A negative, B plus, B minus, O, A, whatever type of blood you have flowing through your veins, your life is the only reason and the only way that you exist here tonight is because life is in the blood. It is the blood that flows through your veins that sustains your body. As the blood moves throughout our body, it brings life to every place that it goes. Without the blood, there is no life. We understand how that works. If someone takes and they lose circulation in their feet or in their hand or in their arm or it's whatever the extremity may be, and that blood is cut off, that extremity begins to die because there is no life that is entering into that. The blood carries oxygen with it, and with that oxygen, it brings life. So without blood, there is no life. It's also very intriguing to me as to how the blood, as it brings life into our cells, it also takes and it removes and discards toxic waste that build up in our bodies. You're going to get a little bit of lesson tonight on the blood. Life is in the blood. In order for our blood to move, it must be pumped throughout our system. We have a pump. We call that pump our heart that pumps your blood. It needs that blood. It's pumped in order for us to survive. Our average heart beats some 72 times per minute, and it moves about 1.3 gallons or 5 liters of blood throughout your body. And if it ever stops moving, if it ever stops beating, you go into what we call a heart attack mode. And if you are in that mode for long enough, you die. You see, it's not that the heart stopped beating. It's that the blood stopped flowing through your body. You can take his brother Jeff Marcus. He's not here tonight, but he had a heart transplant. I saw pictures that he showed me of his old heart, and then he had pictures where the surgeons took pictures where he had no heart at all in his chest cavity for a number of hours, and then they put his new heart in, and during that time, he sustained life because there was still blood that was flowing through his veins. It was not his heart. It was an electronic pump, a mechanical pump that was pumping the blood through his body. But the minute that the pump stops, or the minute that your heart stops, the blood stops flowing and death starts to set in. You see, you can live without certain body parts. There's some folks that live without their legs. It may be an inconvenience, but you can live without your legs. You can live without your arms. You can live without your eyes. You can live without your ears. You can live without a kidney. You can live without a partial liver. And a lot of people have their appendix taken out just because it sounds like a good thing to do from time to time. But you simply cannot live without your blood. There's no substitute for the blood. They can't take and say, as you get a hip replacement, we're going to give you an artificial blood. There is nothing around, there's nothing on the planet that can take and substitute for your blood. They can give you a mechanical heart and you can live, but you cannot live without your blood. You cannot live. Life is in the blood. Next Saturday here at Calvary Gospel Church, we're going to have our Touch Twice clinic. And at that clinic, we're going to have a blood drive. And we come and we volunteer to give blood. And you go in and you sit down in a chair and they poke a needle in your arm and they begin to drain the blood out of your body. And as the blood is removed from your body, it will be later matched up with someone else that has the same type of blood that you have. And that blood has the possibility of saving another person's life. You may never meet that person. You may never know that person. You may never come in contact with that person. But the blood that you give here next Saturday will go somewhere and save someone's life. Because there's life in the blood. There's life in the blood. I want to remind you tonight that someone else shed his blood. His blood. It wasn't just any kind of blood. It wasn't just a human type of blood. But it was a blood that was of a royal blood. It was a blood that came straight from the throne room of heaven. It flowed through a man, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. It wasn't just any blood. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ, when we look at the blood, his blood is the only blood that has the power to remove sin in a person's life. I could take my blood and I could shed my blood, and that's exactly what it would be, just shedding of my blood. But 2,000 years ago on a cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ shed his blood. And 1 John 1:7 tells me that the blood that Jesus Christ shed, it cleanseth us from all sin. My blood doesn't have the right properties to cleanse you from sin, but I want to introduce to you tonight someone whose blood can cleanse you from sin. You see, his blood removes the waste that is in our lives. We need to be clean. Dirt, impurities cause disease. And let's look at the blood for a moment. The blood is made up of four different types of components. There's red blood cells, there's white blood cells, there's platelets, and then I'll continue to go on here, but the red blood cells, they're like the cells that go throughout the body, and they take oxygen to the body, and it brings energy, and it brings nutrients into the body. They remove the waste in the bloodstream, keeping it clean. And just as that is like Jesus Christ or Jesus' blood, it gives me life and it keeps me clean. His blood, his royal blood, his red blood cells flow through our lives. It keeps us clean. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and life was the light of men. John 1:5-11 tells us, or 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God had given us eternal life. It is through his blood that he keeps us clean and gives us eternal life. We also have in our blood what we call white blood cells, and these white blood cells, they're unique in itself because they fight infections and they are a defense mechanism, part of the blood. Jesus died in the battle for your life and for my life, and his blood is like white blood cells. They destroy the disease of sin in our lives. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Our old man has to be destroyed. Our old sinful nature has to go, and it is through the white blood cells that combat the sin that is in our lives, that destroys the old nature that is in our lives and that continually wants to rear up. We are flesh. We have temptations. We have struggles. I thank God for white blood cells, the white blood cells of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's platelets in the blood, and they help the clotting process by sticking to the lining of the blood vessels. They're smaller than the red or white blood cells, and platelets are made in the bone marrow, and they survive in our veins and in our arteries. 2 Corinthians tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Platelets, the bone marrow, survive is what they do, is they take and they assist. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For you see, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood here, but we are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in very high places. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all saints. Then our blood, we have what's called an antibody that's in our blood. Antibodies, they prevent disease that was once there from happening again. As children, they went and sometimes they gave us shots, and they would give us maybe a shot for the measles or the chicken pox or whatever vaccinations that they would give. And there, I'm rushing through this, but it's like a weakened part virus, of the chickenpox virus. It's not a full strength, and your blood cells and your white blood cells and your antibodies and all this that's in the blood, they recognize that as a foreign invader, and they attack it, but they remember what it was. So next time, when the real thing comes, full strength, they attack it, because they've been exposed to it before. Antibodies prevent the disease that was once there from happening again. Jesus Christ is our antibody. He makes sure that I don't have to deal with the same sin issue again and again and again, over and over and over again. As Brother Scott Leonardson said tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ, as it covers our sins, if allowed to work as it was intended to do, once it recognizes that old sin and it begins to come against us, our antibodies begin to kick in. And as it begins to tempt us, our blood of Jesus Christ destroys the enemy. It goes against the enemy. It fights against the enemy. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus Christ. John 8:36 says, if the Son thereof make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I want you to listen to me tonight. Our success and our victory in this life depends upon one vital thing. That is our revelation. That is our understanding. That is how we apply the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to our lives. You will never enjoy your full benefit as a Christian. You will never enjoy your full benefit in your life until you give the blood of Jesus Christ its rightful place in your life. You cannot survive in this life without the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life. You wonder why the enemy comes at you and constantly destroys you, because you're not covered by the blood. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as of gold and silver from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." His blood is an atonement. His blood is a reparation or a payment for our sins. His blood is what covers our sins. Leviticus 17:11 tells us it is his blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It is his blood that made a payment for your soul. Jesus Christ didn't come to this earth, just as I said this morning, to give us Christmas, to give us a Christmas break, a winter solstice, a little time to share, a little winter spirit, Christmas spirit. He didn't come to this earth so we could just take and have Christmas and have an Easter break. He came to this earth to live and to die. That is what is called the salvation. That is what's called the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why I love that song. Living, he loves me. Dying, he saved me, because that's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why he came. Hebrews 9:22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission." This world is in such dire need of peace. They don't need, there's not a man's peace. I tell you, I'm sick and tired of trying to take and follow what's going on in the world as far as the peace process. One day there's peace and the next day there's chaos. People can get up and state, "Peace, peace." You can put a peace sign on your car. You can drive around in your little eco-friendly car that says coexist, but there's less coexisting and less peace in this earth than there ever has been. Just because you put a bumper sticker on it doesn't mean it's going to happen. True peace doesn't come from man, but true peace comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. We need peace in your life tonight. You can find peace through his blood, because Colossians 1:20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him," I say, "whether they be things in earth or in things in heaven." You want peace tonight? Experience the blood of Jesus Christ. You want God with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Hebrews 10:19 tells me that, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil," what is to say, his flesh. You need a deliverance tonight. You're here tonight and you're struggling with sin. Maybe whatever it is, I don't care, alcohol, drugs, no matter what it is, you're struggling with depression, your marriage is a wreck, you're frustrated, you're angry. You want deliverance tonight? You can find deliverance tonight through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:14 says, "So much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, he purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Sometimes we just need a good cleaning out. We go through the house, spring is on the way. We'll be opening up our windows and opening up our doors and letting the air flow through, and we'll get in this spring cleaning mode. You need a cleansing in your life tonight. 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us." You don't need Pine Sol. You need the blood of Jesus Christ upon your life to cleanse you from all sin. You need protection tonight. Exodus 12:13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." You see, it was the blood on the lintel or the blood on the doorpost that kept the death angel from coming against the children of Israel. But without the blood over the doorpost, that's to say today, without the blood applied in your life, without the blood applied in your heart, you are not under the protection of the Holy Ghost. You don't have the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. than the death angel, when it passes over, can destroy you. How many of you need a healing in your bodies? Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 said, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." Listen, this happened some 700 years before he was crucified, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's power. Power. There's healing power in the blood. 1 Peter 2:4, "Who by our own selves bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, whose by stripes..." Watch what it says. One says, "By stripes you are healed," future. This says, "By stripes ye were healed," past. So that means we are healed, but then we were healed. Do you understand that? You don't have to come down here and beg, borrow, and plead from Jesus Christ. You don't have to come down here and beg God forgiveness, because by his stripes we were healed. There's power in his blood. Power in his blood. Revelation 10 and 11, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, being Satan, which accused them before our God day and night." Ever been accused? Ever had people accuse you? Ever had the enemy come against you and accuse you? But what does verse 11 say? "And they overcame him." Who is him? They overcame Satan. How did they overcome him? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You don't think your testimony has power? "And by the power," or by the word of their testimony, "and they love not their lives unto the death." There's power in the blood. Salvation tonight. So Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." You see, his blood, it does one thing. It sets us apart. It sets us apart. I'm reading from the Amplified Version, Hebrews 13, verse 12. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." We are sanctified through his blood. Sanctification means to be set apart for God, or to be holy. His blood declares us right. Romans 5, 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified means being cleared from any charges or guilt. It says justified means that I am guilty. It means you are guilty. It means I am a sinner. It means you are a sinner. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, which justifies us, it redeems us. It made us just as if I have never sinned. It makes you just as if you had never sinned. His blood justified. We are justified. Justified by his blood. To redeem something. Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." To redeem something means to buy something back that had been lost. How many of you were lost in sin one day? You see, and along came Jesus Christ, and he redeemed me from my sin. He bought me back. He paid a ransom for my soul. I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. But ever since mankind sinned in the garden, we have been at war with God, because sin divides us from God, and sin separates us from God. But his blood gives us victory. His blood gives us victory. I'm so thankful that his blood gives us victory. If our praise team can come, if you can stand to your feet tonight. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You see, there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. You may say, how does this work, Pastor Roy? Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. He became the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of humanity. Before that, you had to bring a sheep, a dove, a goat, a young bullock, and you had to perform a sacrifice. It's not up here now, but this morning we had our drama, and there was an Ark of the Covenant, and there was a veil. And when Jesus Christ died and he cried out, it is finished, that veil rent from the top to the bottom. When he said, it is finished, what he was saying was, my plan that started all the way back in the Garden of Eden when sin entered into the world, it is now finished. It is completed with the blood of an innocent sacrifice. Jesus Christ, as Revelation tells us, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was his blood that was shed to take away and cover the sins of humanity, to take away my sin, to take away your sin. And you may say, well, you know, I really don't have a problem with sin. It amazes me how many people don't have a problem with sin but still expect to get into heaven. Listen, I didn't write this. Don't get upset at me. Call me a Bible thumping, holy roller type preacher. But the word says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It also tells me there will be no sin in heaven. No sin will enter in. None. Absolutely zero sin will be in heaven. So you say, how do I get there? You get there by the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ on your life. You see, when the Lord looks at us, he doesn't see all of the sin and all of the wrong that I've done. He looks at me and he sees his blood. That's what I love about his blood, Brother Scott, is when Satan looks at us, and he wants to come against us. If worn properly, if applied properly, he can't see anything but the blood of Jesus Christ. And he hates the blood of Jesus Christ, because it was the blood of Jesus Christ that destroyed his kingdom and destroyed his plan. So how do I get this blood applied to my life? It's very simple. Through repentance. That's how you get rid of sin in your life. You have to confess your sin. I'll say, you know what, Lord? It's as simple as this. Lord, I'm a sinner. I've just done so many dumb things in my life. I can't keep track of them all. I don't have any idea how many dumb things I've done. But forgive me. You don't have to sit down here and name them all off sin by sin by sin. He already knows. He just wants to hear you confess it. That's all. And after that repentance, two things can happen. You can get baptized. We have a gentleman going to get baptized here tonight. What does baptism do? You see, repentance is the forgiveness part. He forgives us of those sins. But he says, you know what? I want to go one step further than that. I want to wash them away. I want to get rid of them. I don't want to ever see them again, Brother Larry. That's the way the Lord looks at it. He says, you know what? I don't want to ever see your sin again, Brother Julius. And what I'm going to do is, when you go down in the waters of baptism, that sin is going to be gone from your life. Never to be... It says he will throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. I don't know about you, but when people do wrong against me, people offend me, we have a tendency to want to remember that. We want to carry that offense with us. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm saying it. We like sometimes to carry that chip on our shoulder. But Jesus says, you know what? When you repent and you go down in the waters of baptism, I am going to forget everything you have ever done. That's just awesome enough within itself. That's incredible enough within itself. And when you come out of those waters of baptism, he says, I got something that's going to hold you. There's a power that I'm going to give you. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. People say, well, I'm not so sure about this Holy Ghost. It's like a lithium battery that lasts forever on steroids. It's a never-ending power source that will never stop giving. There's not any power source on earth that is eternal, but the Holy Ghost is an eternal power source. What's so important about the Holy Ghost? It gives you power and authority over the enemy. But it also, it's a brand that goes in your life. We used to laugh in construction. I worked with a guy and he'd always ask if I had my ticket, making reference to the Holy Ghost. Your Holy Ghost is a ticket to ride the train to heaven. You know what? You can repent. You may say, but I've repented. You may repent. If you're not baptized, you got to be baptized. You got to take on His name. And then you have to have the Holy Ghost. You have to have all three to make it to heaven. You may say, well, I've only done one. Then you need the other two. Maybe you've done two and you need the third one. Maybe you need to be baptized tonight. Maybe you need to repent tonight. I want to invite you down to this altar. Right now. If you've never repented of your sins, listen, there's no feeling like it. You wonder why everybody is so happy and so smart. Listen, Satan's got nothing on me, honey. Nothing. I feel clean inside. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. If I die tomorrow, I know I'm going to wake up in heaven someday. There's no doubt. Maybe you've grown a little cold in the Lord. Maybe it's been some time since you've spoken in tongues. Come on down to this altar. Come on down. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far you've strayed. If you need a healing in your body, that's what His blood's for. That's what His blood's for. It's for the healing of the saints, for the healing of the nations. If you need a healing, come on down over right over here. We have ministers and elders that are love to pray for you tonight for a healing. We do have a baptism tonight. You guys can go ahead and start singing. Didn't mean to hold you up here. Let's come on down, church. Ministers and elders can come down and pray. We have a number of people praying down here.
A carpenter came to fix my broken soul.
We have some children down here. Some of our Sunday school ministry team is here.